across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today they're spreading across the nation like wildfire. I'm talking about those nude butt billboards. Today on Martin Malloy, we address Australia's growing crack problem. Also today, the ozone layer. Do we really need it? We take you behind the scenes at Stephen Hawking's wedding of the year, and the legal problems have been ironed out, and today we launch the $1 million. We've got Radio Gladiators, and joining us live, American comedian Bob Smith. It's all coming up on the program that even Carmen Lawrence remembers to tune in for, Martin Malloy. Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do. Good afternoon, Australia. This is Martin Malloy for Tuesday with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man so keen to get his paws on a bit of art. He's gone to court claiming to be the former lover of Brett Whiteley, Mick Malloy.
I can't remember much about the time. We were both on drugs. It was very heady days. Heady days indeed.
Okay. But
thanks for bringing it up, though.
That's all right. We'll just leave it there, I think. But while we're sticking with art, I know you've been having a look at an exhibition. When I say exhibition, it's, those billboards. Those arse billboards. Backdoor signs.
That's all you need to say, isn't it? The arse billboard. And everyone knows what you're talking about. Melbourne's got one. Sydney's getting one. And they could go Australia-wide and possibly even to France. That's the aim.
Really?
It's a huge billboard of a woman's backside covered only by a French flag painted over Les buttocks. Have you seen it, Tone? It looks like she sat on a tub of Neapolitan ice cream. I heard they were going to use Darren Hinch, but in the end decided against face painting in this instance. We're all pretty happy about that. You know what I thought when I saw it?
Right.
I thought it was our promotions department at the radio station, because they've got a history of this.
Yeah.
Our Melbourne office has just successfully finished their billboard of cash. I thought this was their follow-up billboard of crack, but no, I'm thankful to be proven wrong. I thought, you know, this is interesting. I thought they might have given us a call. Did you think that? At least for an audition. Okay, maybe not you, Tone. Sure, I know you're pretty incensed about the whole fringe thing, but, well, maybe this isn't a job for a bony-ass comedian with tension rash. I, on the other hand, well, I think I speak for many when I describe my rotund, ample derriere as somewhat Rubenesque, okay? Sure, they'd have to paint over the wow tattoo, but it would have been worth the effort. What? What do you laugh? What? What are you saying? My butt's not cute.
No, I'm not saying
that. Yes, you are. You had that look on your face. You did. What's wrong with my butt, T. Martin? Tell me this. If you were sitting down at a dinner party with other dinner guests and someone lifted the lid off a silver tray to reveal me hogtied with an apple wedge between the butt cheeks, don't tell me you wouldn't be sitting there smacking the chops waiting for someone to carve.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. But,
okay, well, there it is. In a nutshell, we've described the billboard to you. It's quite impressive, and this is the thing you got to remember. You're looking up in the sky, and it's a naked woman's bottom that measures about 10 metres by 6 metres across. And I mean, really, unless you're lucky enough to catch Colleen McCulloch doing a bum press out her office window, you'll never see the likes of that again.
Ooh, the
Now.
You're not fading that early, are you, Gracie? Because I wouldn't want to deprive the listeners of the full glory of Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
They invented the Casio for that song, mate.
I'm sure. Yeah,
it's a science experiment that went horribly wrong.
It's your classic rock connection, Martin Malloy. But here's a bit of a horror story. I hate to bring this up. This is something that happened to me when we were on our break, Mick. I was in the bank a couple of weeks ago, and two blokes burst in with balaclavas on and shotguns. One of them's fired a shot into the ceiling, but before they could say anything, the tellers hit the button and those metal screens have come down. So the two blokes are just standing there looking a bit stupid. And in order to save face, one of them's gone, "Right, everyone on the ground, Barry, fill the bags." And the other one's run right along the counter, frantically emptying all the Lions Club mints into a huge sack.
they've gone, everyone, come on, anyone tries to follow us? No, you're dead, mate. And they've just bolted out
That's
of there.
That's it. Yeah. And counted their booty.
The perfect crime. But the times they are changing. I was in a survey the other night. Amazing how much kind of stuff happens to me, isn't it?
You get around.
It's incredible.
Really,
but I was in the survey the other night. Bloke with a stocking over his head bursts in with two cans of hairspray and goes, anyone moves? And the ozone layer gets it.
Is that right?
Because there's been a lot of talk in the press lately about the hole in the ozone layer over Antarctica. They say it's now the size of Europe, which I think is a bad analogy because it makes it sound kind of classy, doesn't it? Europe. Mmm, cool, sophisticated. Makes it sound very prêt-à-porter. The ozone hole, the size of Europe in the heart of Antarctica. But maybe if they said, you know, it's the size of Iraq, people would go, oh, no, not Iraq.
Just deal with it.
Exactly. But basically, the planet's in need of a bit of urgent re-roofing. And here's the good news. For the last 3 years, the boffins at Geneva's World Meteorological Organization have been secretly working with the geniuses at the Advanced Hair Studios on what's been described as a miracle ozone replacement procedure.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they take small amounts of ozone from around the back of the planet
right,
and weave it in molecule by molecule over a period of 6 months so that even the Earth's closest neighbours won't notice the difference.
Amazing.
What it is, it's an ozone toupee. That's what it is. And it's natural looking. They've tried it on Venus and it's now returned to a full and active lifestyle. Neptune took one look and immediately said,
yeah, yeah.
SAFM.
I return you to abnormal programming. Martin Malloy.
Check this out. Martin Malloy, the program that brought you the billboard of cheese, the dash for Dita's stash, and think of a word that rhymes with silver chair and win a house full of Mr. Mister t-shirts, now brings you the $1 million. That's right, it's $1 million in cash. 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 And it's being valued at precisely $1 million. Yes, $1 million. Just in case you didn't hear, allow me to say it again with some kind of weird effect on my voice. $1 million. And just so you're completely clear on this, here's someone with an even deeper voice to say
$1 million.
Yes, it's $1 million. In cash, cash, cash. And it could be yours. Here's how. Just keep listening to Martin Malloy, and if you hear one show where they don't make a series of cheap jokes about Michael Jackson, David Copperfield, or the cast of Baywatch, well, you just weren't listening closely enough. Eventually, after, say, 18 months, they're bound to slip up, and that's when you call and put yourself in the running for the $1 million. Only one name will be drawn out of the barrel by tennis great Pat Cash. 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 And if it's you, you'll get to spend 1 minute in a giant safe with $1 million in $1 coins. Using only a teaspoon, you'll have just 60 seconds to load as many coins into your pockets before the safe fills with water, drowning both yourself and the five hungry panthers. Take the coins to the bank manager and he'll gladly exchange them for a brand new CD by Paula Abdul. And don't forget Silverchair. Nothing to do with this competition. We just thought we'd mention them again anyway. The $1 million. Coming soon to Martin Malloy. Contest not open to this station's employees, immediate relatives or listeners.
Do not adjust your radio.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
That's your Bon Jovi with Always Here on Martin Malloy. And our guest in the next hour is going to be Bob Smith. He's an American comedian. I hope he's not going to be getting stuck into us. You know how American comedians come out and they just go on about driving on the wrong side of the road?
Yep.
That kind of gear.
Convict pass.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. He'll probably, I hope he doesn't have 20 minutes of airline stuff.
Oh, that's the usual, isn't it?
Hey, coming out on the plane.
Those peanuts. Why? Yeah, how do you open those?
And then my chair, I went back and it went forward. I said, waiter, waiter.
Well,
yeah, very funny.
Well, there's Bob Smith.
we can do the comedy here.
We'll see about that. In Radio Gladio,
isn't he?
He is coming in.
Coming in live, and he's going to join us. I look forward to that because he's apparently a very interesting man, and he'll probably regale us with lots of very funny anecdotes.
And because he's an American comedian, I've had the back wall painted like it's bricks because they can't work without that, apparently.
No, little spotlight.
Now, also, Radio Gladiator's on the way, and just a reminder, the liquor industry has this week launched its national campaign to educate consumers about the amount of alcohol contained in a standard drink. The campaign is called How Much Alcohol Does Your Drink Contain? And the answer is, of course, bugger all if those hidden camera reports on Raya to be believed. But anyway, this campaign, we should warn you, is not to be confused with one being run by the Russian government called How Much Alcohol Does Your President Contain?
This is brought to you by Telstra.
Nick, I must just ask you, when you were at school, did you ever get the cane?
Yep. I got the cane this morning from the station manager. Yes,
right.
Talking during the 12 o'clock brainstorm. But I got it a lot. And it was a rather hefty piece of equipment at my school.
Yeah.
It had then required both hands. And the teacher would often go four just before impact. What about you?
No, I didn't get the cane. I had a really good lawyer when I was at school.
Did you?
I kept getting off. You know, I did a lot of community service work, planting trees, that kind of
You're
stuff.
You're always getting out of it, sidestepping it. Well done.
But the cane's on the way out, it seems. At least in New South Wales, the Carr government is to consider banning the use of the cane at school. And I know this is sort of being debated hotly around the whole nation. And obviously, if they're getting rid of the cane, there's going to have to be some kind of replacement, isn't there?
Sounds like a Q4.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
We're looking for alternative punishments for the school kiddies today on Radio Gladiators. We had a good one at my school. The headmaster, this is true, had a print, an old 16mm print of a Dom DeLuise Burt Reynolds movie. It was, I don't know if you remember this one, it was called The End. Remember, that was a really crap 70s comedy with Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds. And you just have to go and see it. He'd just make you sit through it over and over, and, you know, you get caught, you know, I don't know, running by the pool or something like that with a pair of scissors, which was doubly bad. And he'd go, right, I'm afraid you... Oh, not the end! Not the end again! I saw the end about 18 times.
We had the same thing at our school, except our teacher would pin our eyes open. Have you seen A Clockwork Orange?
Yeah,
play it really big on a big screen and keep your eyes open like that until, you know, it was just too much to bear. And he'd play not just the movie, the end bit. You know, in all those Dom DeLuise Burt Reynolds films, they do the bloopers.
Where they're just cracking up.
Please.
And Burt Reynolds falls over the bonnet of a sports car and they just cack for about 30 seconds. But obviously that's just one idea. And we're looking for punishments of any nature.
Don't have to be traditional.
No.
They're going to be something modern. Say, one I like is leaving the kids in the back of the car at the casino.
I think
that's a beauty.
I don't know if that's you know, legal in all states, though. I'm not sure.
But I think it's legal in any state, but it's an adequate punishment.
Okay, well, what we want is any kind of suggestion you want, and you're not doing it for nothing. The Sony Lightweight Discman. It's a very, very small stereo. It could be yours. It's worth about $400, and it's brought to you by 4-20 pies. And have you had a look at a 4-20 pie lately, Mick?
I've studied the pastry.
Because they're always trying to put... I mean, I know it's a design award winner. It's the only pie with airbags, I'm told. If you're eating it too fast, they just, bam, out they come.
Yeah.
And they're always trying to perfect the thing, but I don't see how you can improve on perfection myself.
It has a certain symmetry that I like. And the crusty exterior hides a kind of marshmallowy heart. Do you know what I mean? I identify so strongly with the 4-20 pie. It has everything. It's moody. The 4-20 pie is moody.
There's more
Sometimes
to it.
Sometimes it can be mysterious and quite aloof. And other times it's really buoyant. Have you noticed that?
It's a beef enigma wrapped in a pastry riddle.
You're
That's
right.
what it is. There's just so much going on in your 4 and 20 pie, and they're the people responsible for this fabulous Sonny Discman prize. Just call now if you'd like to take part. Radio Gladiators, the number is 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
It's Radio Gladiators, and today the challenge, well, it looks like the cane's on the way out at school.
So we're Tennis day, Tone.
Yeah, it's behind us now, so we need a new punishment for the school kiddies that can take its place. And, Mick, I believe you've been on the phones. Who have you got for us?
Yeah, well, we've got Jackie on the line. G'day, Jackie. No, we don't. We've got Tony on the line. Hi, Tony.
How you going?
Sorry for calling you Jackie.
That's all right.
Yeah, you'll recover. All right, now you've put some thought to this. What do you think an adequate punishment for the kiddies would be?
I reckon reintroduce the guillotine, mate.
The guillotine? Oh, cruel but fair.
Like back in the old days, you know, in the...
Back in the old days, you can remember those, can you?
Yeah,
the guillotine days. When I was a boy, I'd lop your head clean off for shenanigans like that.
But I would have thought headlessness would have been an impediment, you know, come exam time myself. So I'm not sure if we can go with that. Thanks, Tony. Tony Robespierre. And I think Darren's next. Darren, what's your suggestion?
Take their play away.
Hang on a second, Darren. How old are you?
12.
And you're providing punishment for the kiddies, are you?
Yeah.
What's your last name, Darren?
Galacky.
Well, the kids are going to go you tomorrow at school, aren't they?
Oh, I think he's been on the Galacky Tabacky,
Tabacky. And take their play away. Would that punish... Well, you'd consider that that'd be savage punishment, would it?
Yeah, because that's what they do at our school.
Who does that? The teachers?
The principal.
Well, they say no play and make you work.
Oh, no, we just take... Bit of play away.
But this folk's calling up and he's gone over to the other side.
He's a turncoat. He's Benedict Arnold.
I hope you're happy with yourself, Darren. Let's go on to, is it Jackie this time? Are you there, Jackie?
Yes.
Okay, we've got you now, Jackie. What's your suggestion for a replacement for the cane?
Well, I think you should bring back the stocks. Have the kids belt it into that and have other kids pelt rotten fruit at them.
And have you got kids yourself, Jackie?
No, but I've had to deal with a few in my time.
All right. Now, and have you got out the stocks and the fruit yourself and given it a crack?
No, but God, I wish I could have. I'd save an egg for months to throw at couple of kids I know.
And what did they do to you? What was
She's at home, taxi driver style, looking in the mirror, like thinking of her next encounter with the kids. You're not a very friendly person, are you, Jackie?
Sometimes.
Are you?
Sometimes.
All right.
And what exactly was the incident that triggered this egg concept of yours?
I worked at a YMCA for just a holiday program, and that was enough to make me want to bring those back.
Okay. Well, we'll give you the number of Darren
Hinge. She's seen the horror.
Thanks.
The horror.
Okay, thanks. That's not a bad idea, the eggs. I think it could work, but have we got time for one more?
Yeah, we do. We've got Donna on the line. Hello, Donna.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. Now, what do you think an adequate punishment for the kiddies would be?
Oh, I think that you just sit them in a room and play one of my dad's old records.
Oh.
Yep, they're just really old because I know if they did that at our school, I would never, ever do anything wrong.
And what sort of artists are we talking about here? What kind of records are they?
Oh, I don't know. They're just really old. They're like jazz music.
Oh, not the evil devil's music that is jazz.
Sorry?
Well, is it James Last? Is it that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. He's got a couple of them.
All right. Well, I think that's probably the most sensible suggestion.
Right.
I don't think we can condone the guillotine or the stocks.
No, and if your dad does come at you with a strap, just put a few of his old records down the back of your pants.
He wouldn't be, because he wouldn't be listening to this station. He'd be listening to some old station as well.
Yeah.
Some old music.
He wouldn't want to hear modern music like a Soft Cell. So, okay, well, I think that's our winner today.
Thank you.
And Donna, you've got, it's the Sonny Discman, and you won't be able to wedge any of your dad's LPs into it. So it's going to be a dad-free zone, and you can just put, you know, Silverchair and that kind of gear in there.
Yep, my favourite band.
Okay. Is that your favourite band?
Yep.
Could you just yell, Silverchair for us?
Silverchair.
Okay, we'll use that in a promo. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll play Radio Gladiators again tomorrow, but stick around, people. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Bob Smith.
This is Martin Malloy.
Someday.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. Martin Malloy.
M people with moving on up. It's the second hour of Martin Molloy. It's the part of the program where we rope somebody else in, an accomplice. And this bloke is from America and he's a comedian. But despite those two facts, he's promised not to do any material about airline food. Please make him welcome. It's Bob Smith. Sorry about that, Bob.
Hi, where are you from? I'm so original.
No, we get a lot of people coming on, and they're straight onto how hard it is to open those little packets of peanuts.
Oh, God, I know. For 15 hours. They're a little slow, the Americans.
They are. Now, let's get straight to business. Your act. You describe yourself, and these are your own words. I'm just throwing them back you, Bob. As a gay Jimmy Stewart, explain yourself, sir.
A gay Jimmy Stewart? I guess, well, then, that you know, that sounds kind of... It's a Wonderful Lifestyle, I guess I'll be starring in.
Is Jimmy Stewart, I'm assuming, not gay then? Is that, would that be fair to say?
Yeah. He describes himself as the straight Bob Smith, which is really scary.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful symmetry there.
Bob, when did you decide to come out as a gay comedian?
10 minutes ago.
One
of your producers said, get out there and be gay.
Okay. It's as easy as that. So there's hope for me in tone.
Yeah.
If we hang in there, there could be a big announcement later in the show.
It could be a career move, you know. You guys could go worldwide then.
Right. And now, how is that touring around America? Because, you know, obviously, you know, you have to go to places like, let's see, the Deep South.
Oklahoma City, I did. The Deep South. North Carolina, I'm the favorite down there. Jesse Helms, you know, loves me.
Yeah.
I'm getting an NEA grant.
And I read in your biography, it said that when you started, you had to kind of pretend that you weren't gay. Is that correct?
I didn't pretend. I just had no sex life of any kind. Right. So there was nothing to talk about. Yeah. It was like when I was 18.
I'm still at that stage with all my stand-up routines, I'm afraid, Bob.
Right.
Yeah. When Mick started doing stand-up, he actually used to come on dressed as Judy Garland, which I think
Judy Garland. From the roof in a giant clamshell, and that would then open, and I would come out to Judy Garland music.
I think we need more straight drag queens.
Absolutely.
You'll be lip-syncing, I don't know, like Tony Bennett records or something. You'll just do other straight guys.
Well, we can do that. Now, what have you made of Australia so far? You've been here before.
Yes, I have, for Mardi Gras. The thing I notice, you guys abbreviate every word. Mm. Like instead of, you know, good day, it's g'day. Instead of football, it's footy. Yeah. Instead of French President Jacques Chirac, you guys say that dickhead.
That's right.
Economy is king.
Yes.
It is. Now, what do you make of, say, you've done Sydney?
Yes.
And you're now down in Melbourne. Any differences? Anything you've spotted at this point?
They're both... cities, and you know that I grasped, and I look for that opera house down here in Melbourne, and I haven't found it yet. So
no sign of it. And what can people expect coming along to see your show?
I'm gonna embarrass my family on another continent, which is, you know, a really good break for them.
And do you have a family that provides a lot of material? I know my mother, because I'm very lucky, my mother lives in another country altogether, so she thinks I'm a mechanic. I've been passing it off for a while. But I've roped a lot of her behaviour into the act, and she doesn't know about it.
I do it all the time. My mother is, like, mental. I went on the Tonight Show. I call home. I go, Mom, I'm going to do the Tonight Show. And she goes, great. And I go, but everyone's going to know I'm gay. And I go, are you and Dad okay about that? And she goes, well, your father and I talked about it, and we thought there's a lot of people named Bob Smith. Who's going to know? Totally true.
So I'm assuming then, Bob, that Smith is your real name, and you haven't adopted it for show business reasons.
Yes, I was John Doe, and that was working well.
And then you were Barry Citizen for quite some time. But can you stick around with us, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, you hang in there. We've got, some better music and more of it, I believe, coming up right here on Martin Molloy. Comedian Bob Smith is with us, and Bob, I was reading something else about you, that you've signed a movie deal with Steven Spielberg, is that right?
I worked on a movie for Steven Spielberg about a gay stand-up comic. Oh, yeah, Bob, that's really obvious, but, you know, we're going to call it Close Encounters of a Different Kind.
Right.
And they had me write the monologues for it.
What was your relationship like with Steve, and did he come in and give you a few pointers?
He saw a tape. He's like, god there. You know, he's upstairs in his office, but you never see him. You, like, deal with everyone else. Stephen really liked your tape. It's like, ooh.
Now, we had Alicia Silverstone on the show yesterday, and she's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. She's producing films, and...
That's a nightmare.
Were you telling a $30 million deal or something?
Yeah, she got $30 million to do, I think, like, 3 or 4 movies, something like that.
Is that a common thing? You know, you get out of school and maybe knock about, maybe work at Burger King for a while, and then it's straight onto the $30 million movie deal option.
Oh, definitely. Most 18-year-olds are, you know, driving Ferraris to the U.S.
Now, are you from Los Angeles yourself?
I'm from New York, but I'm moving. I'm doing the big move to L.A. in November.
Right, and what's that going to be like? Are you going to be in the thick of O.J. mania? What will...
Oh, my God, that is, the worst thing. I guess, you know, being gay, I'm more interested in Elizabeth Taylor breaking up with, you know,
Larry Flint.
Husband number 8. Yep. Here's the thing about that, though. Don't you think at this point she'd go, could it be me? You know, like, I don't care, straight or gay, 8 is like, it's you. It's you. It's not them.
And Larry Fortinsky, I was reading, apparently Liz is laid up in hospital with a bad back or something. He's been out with all her credit cards down to Las Vegas. He spent like $500,000 on suits. And
probably like 1 polyester suit, some idiot, you know, he got sold. Oh, yeah, it's worth $500,000. Buy it.
And he's up in the hotel room. Apparently, he's just dialing everything. He's just got all the credit cards out on the coffee table. He's just getting anything you can order by phone.
I wonder if he has to dress up as Liz to use the cards, though. That'd be kind of scary.
Good look, wouldn't it?
Right.
Hey, Bob, you covered the gay games. Now, I know nothing about the gay games. What's all that about?
It's like the gay Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I did it for Howard Stern, and it was, pretty fun. You know, they have, like, same-sex figure skating pairs, which was hilarious.
Is that opening ceremony? That'd take on a bit of a Mardi Gras feel.
Right, yes. Everyone wanted to carry the torch. You know? They just have one guy flaming in the middle of the field.
How did you find working with Howard Stern, who not many people in this country know, but he's a pretty aggressive radio personality, not known for his...
Subtlety.
Subtlety, yeah. How'd you go with him?
Well, he was instantly, hey, gay Bob, you know.
Gay Bob. That was the catchphrase, was it?
Yes. It's like, hello, straight Howard. You know? It's like,
Now, the concept of the gay games interests me. Do straight people try and sneak in? Is there a testing procedure?
What was interesting was it was open to everyone, so straight, gay, lesbian, so, you know, thing was to be inclusive, but I would have loved to have seen, you know, a few straight jocks there, I'm in the gay games, I won a gold medal, yeah, that really impressed the guys down at the locker room.
You said also you're out too early for the Mardi Gras. Now, this is a huge thing on any scale. It's probably our biggest tourist attraction in the country. Was it your first Mardi Gras?
My first one.
And what were your impressions?
You people are out of your minds. Definitely the biggest, like, mental case thing. It was so fun. It was really amazing.
Yeah, we have two of those, really. We have the Anzac Day Parade and we have the the gay Mardi Gras, and you couldn't get polar opposites.
I hear next year they're going to be on the same day, which is going to be really...
There's a bit of controversy, right. But yeah, it could just work. But now, Bob, give us your dates. Where are you? Where can people see you?
I'm in Melbourne this week at the Universal Theatre through Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then next week, Wednesday through Sunday, I'm in Sydney at the Harbourside Brasserie.
And you better book early because it's already sold out for your opening night tonight. And it's going to go good.
It was opening night last night, I think. Or is it tonight? Well,
it's opening tonight in Melbourne.
The key to this show is preparation, Bob, as you can see.
Yes.
Okay, well, all the best with the big season.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And all the best with the move.
Okay.
Okay, we've been talking to Bob Smith on Martin Malloy. Now, Mick, you're a bit of a social butterfly, and I was hoping to talk about this yesterday, but we ran out of time. I believe you were at one of the prestigious weddings of the year, is that correct?
Yeah, Tone. British physicist Stephen Hawking and his nurse had their marriage yesterday. I was there. The wheelchair-bound author of A Brief History of Time. It's kind of a Jackie Collins-style romp through the science world. Yeah. Quite popular. He got married to Elaine Mason, the nurse hired by Professor Hawking's wife of 26 years to provide around-the-clock care for his muscle-wasting condition. And well, mission accomplished, really, isn't it? That's round-the-clock care, if you ask me. It was quite romantic, apparently. What happened was he proposed to her on bended knee. Well, he had to after she hit his wheelchair. But the ceremony... The ceremony, Tane, this is the fun bit, went well. A couple of minor problems. There was a short delay when Hawking got a flat coming down the aisle and they had to, you know, put the wheelchair up on blocks while a couple of guys in overalls replaced the tyre. The vows were great. The only problem was Steve had written his own, so nobody understood him. Right. Once it was all over, well, the mood turned a bit, I must say. It became quite enjoyable. A few of his professor mates were up to their old pranks, tying cans to the back of his wheelchair, you know, writing stuff like E equals MC squared in shaving cream all over it. Someone had even put one of those if it's rockin', don't bother knocker stickers on the back. I'm telling you, it's true. Oh. I was there. It's interesting, Tone. During the vows, Hawking said his I do's by using his a computer synthesized voice box, which he uses to communicate with. And just for a joke, he threw in a couple of exterminate.
So it was a
very levitous moment, really, for one and all. But I believe the real fun started on their wedding night, which by all accounts was pretty raunchy. In fact, I've got a tape of some of their wedding night shenanigans here. Have a listen.
Oh, Stephen, yes. Yes, oh, Stephen, is that good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Dollars and children under 15 free. Adelaide's International Raceway this Sunday, a day of heart-stopping excitement for the whole family.
I think we're out of here, Mick Molloy.
I hope so.
And I think Stephen's on the phone now for you.
That'll be for me.
And he'd like to have a few words. And we'd like to thank all our guests today. Well, Bob Smith, of course, who's round and about and has got a book out as well. Should mention that. And all our valiant radio gladiators. And tomorrow, well, it's our 100th show. And amongst other things, we're going to be letting Pete Smith out of the booth for the very first time. He's going to be sitting on the panel with us. And I don't know what's going to happen. Is that a good idea, Mick?
The sparks are going to fly.
Okay.
Out of the booth.
Be there for that one, people. But in the meantime, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.